That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we do welcome you here. And what's today's date, Kyle?
15th, I believe.
15th, that's halfway through March already. Almost 31 days in March, but that is the 15th. But we welcome you and say good morning to you, and good morning, Holy Spirit, and well, good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, I think we got John down there. John, make it on with us?
Yep, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. And we do say good morning, Remnant. And we welcome you here to coffee. Hope you have your coffee poured and your Bible out. And we've got a few things to go over and talk about this morning. But, John, you want to open us up in prayer first?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord, and we just ask for your blessings on today's assembly. We ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts and that they would be of some benefit to your people, the remnant. Lord, as we continue on in this world day after day, we see the birth pangs continuing to happen. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to open the eyes of your people and unstop their ears, and that they would see what's going on. Pray that you would remember grace and mercy on your people, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We do continue to come against any demonic, satanic spirits that would come against your people. Bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we do ask for more Holy Spirit, Lord, and more wisdom. We come in a spirit of humility. And we just pray that our people would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways, so that you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal this land. Just lift all these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll certainly just open it up, guys. If you had a particular topic you wanted to start with this morning, then now's the time.
What's that? Well, I saw an interesting headline the other day that, or yesterday, that you don't see very often, and it says, Somalia suicide bomber kills self. And it was a story about one of these, suicide bombers who was getting ready to do a suicide bomb, but accidentally hit the switch when he was putting his car in park and blew himself up. So, that was kind of funny. That was, these suicide bombers, I bet you that it made a, bet you it makes a couple of them nervous after thinking about something like that.
You'd think so. Yeah, I think I told Kyle a while back, a couple years ago, I said, if they ever find me dead and say I committed suicide, just call them a liar. It's not in our, I don't think so anyway, it's not in our natural thought processes. I don't think so anyway. I know circumstances come up and whatnot, but
yeah, I think a lot of times it's the spirit that comes upon people. Yeah,
I think so, and I think that our, you know, the enemies and the other people of the land, you know, I think they're more readily susceptible to those spirits. Well, I saw a headline this week. I didn't get to print the story out, but I took a glance at it. I don't even know where it is, but it was "Dad Shoots Unknown Boy in His Daughter's Bed." Did you hear about that one, Jason?
No, I didn't.
And so I don't know if it was Houston or where, and I can't really look it up in here when we're recording and streaming, you know, like we are right now. But yeah, but it was basically a little brother, a little sister comes into daddy's room, and daddy, there's somebody in sissy's room. Well, you know, you would do, hopefully, what probably not all red-blooded American Christian love their family dads would do. You get your pistol off the nightstand and you go see what's going on in a flashlight. And apparently that's what he did. And he walked into his daughter's room, and here's a boy in the bed that he didn't know. And I say boy, probably an 17, 18-year-old. And I guess he didn't like the answers he got to the questions. And he shot him dead right there.
Maybe he didn't ask any questions.
Maybe not. And I saw a quick thing that, you know, no charges. You know, there's people don't realize that is sin, you know, fornication, messing around before you're married. And just because it's so common and prevalent in the land doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it where sometimes there are other unintended consequences, but sometimes there's these kind of consequences as well.
Do you see that story of Bill Maher? He's a comedian, I guess, on late night, but he was ranting and raving that how stupid 60% of America is that actually believes the story of Noah's Ark, and basically called God a psychopathic mass murderer.
Really?
Another sign that we're in the last days, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and you wonder how the people reacted to that, if they cheered him on or booed him on.
I don't know. I wasn't able to.
I bet they laughed at it.
Look into it.
They probably laughed at it, laughing with him. Or at least that's how they put it out, I'm sure. Probably had a laugh track there to go along with it.
Yeah.
But you know, you get that when you try to tell people that, you know, listen, homosexuality is a sin. Oh, Okay, right, sure. Oh, and so we have to believe everything the Bible says. And so if my clothes are mixed in fabric, you're going to take me out and stone me, right? Oh, yeah, okay. And that's the mentality that you get. And that's the mentality of these lawless ones, like this Bill Mayer. You can tell he's one of them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But the problem is when our people, you know, they suck our people into that with them as well.
Well, men like that, and men like, I forget the black actor that called Obama his Lord and Savior, but men like that that make the statement, they're so far gone that there's no hope for them. And the old saying, misery loves company, is so true. I mean, they want to take as many people down and as many people away from God as they possibly can. If there's anything that comes to their mind that... factual evidence. I mean, let's just take the Noah for instance. If factual evidence comes to their knowing about a flood, you know, I mean, whether you believe in it was the whole world at one time or just an area at one time, which we all have our beliefs here, but the fact of the matter is they find seashells all over the world. So to even act like there wasn't a worldwide flood at one time or huge floods one time is ridiculous. But they take, it's like in Romans 1 where it talks about they can see that God is everywhere. I mean, they can see it, but they don't have a love for the truth. They turn the truth into a lie, and they want to take as many people down with them as they possibly can. And these late night television guys like him and there's others out there, that's exactly what they do. They try to pervert all of society, and what I mean pervert, I mean both kinds of perversion, the kind you were talking about a little while ago, Richard, and the Bible perversions where they make fun of God, but the, you know, like you said, that people laughed, but as we know, who's going to get the last laugh, you know.
Yeah, I think it goes deeper than that, though. I think it's these people who have made a deal with the devil. And they're already got their fate sealed. And once they realize that, then they do everything they can to take as many with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought it was interesting, too. There's been so much outrage, really, about this new Noah movie that it's not biblically true. That now, if you listen to the radio, it'll talk about announcing for the Noah movie. And then it'll say, although it's not exactly true, the makers of this movie believe that it's biblically sound, in, you know, with Genesis. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, they talk about how they had part of it, I guess, at the NRB. And you know, normally at the religious broadcasters and meetings like that, you know, they'll preview so-called biblical movies. And... The reviews from the Christian viewpoint, I think to Paramount Pictures and the people that did it were certainly less than what they hoped, and because it is, and I think they've come up with a new term, and we'll touch base on it on the review of the news tomorrow morning at church, but they have this term that's come up now. It's called extra biblical. And you know, instead of saying that, well, this is the story of Noah, for this movie, particularly, they said they would go in and put on the posters and the advertising that it was inspired by the story of Noah, and then they throw this extra biblical in there, and I know Kyle and I we watched the little trailer that they have out that you can see. And, yeah, you know, it looks like from the trailer that he's got a daughter. And I think in the story he had three sons. And
well,
you know,
it could have been story. That could have been a son's wife. I mean,
yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah, and,
exactly.
And so, who knows? It just, you see just bits and pieces in the trailer. But
do they specify on
what the extra biblical,
yeah, what the extra stuff is.
You know, in the previews, you can see that it's, you know, who knows?
I'm not sure. I've seen too much stuff that could be. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think there? I mean, there was power. I mean, it wasn't like a drizzle for 40 days. I mean, there was some stuff going on.
Oh,
there,
I'm sure. I'm sure. And so,
yeah, I saw the trailer. There's water coming out in streams from the ground too.
Right.
And so, yeah, we don't. We
the rush the ark.
Yeah.
And you know, if nothing else, you know, it. I think it kind of ties in. It gives us an opportunity as Christians to, you know, we are a visual people, like it or not. You know, we are to be careful, little eyes, what we see. But we are a visual people, and you know, when we watched most of that epic Bible miniseries, and you know, watched it with our children, some of them anyway, parts of it, not all of it. We didn't let them watch all of it, but you know, in parts of it, and the children could see there were times, you know, that they said, "Hey, that's not how it happened," you know, or "That's not what the Bible says," and you know, so it's an opportunity because you know we get out here in the workplace and you get out here in school and places like that, and they will certainly have people that, you know, will bring things up that, you know, those sound bites or those, you know, one scriptures that they need to be able to say, you know, well, that may be how the movie is, but that's not how the Bible is. And I think that, you know, we can
apparently
use it as an opportunity for that.
Quoted as saying, "Christians have to stop looking at Hollywood as the enemy and start reaching out," he said. "Missionaries have discovered that you don't change minds of by criticism, boycotts, or threats. You change minds by developing a relationship and a sense of trust. You work from the inside."
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know, when I saw that, John, I thought, you know, that isn't that what the Catholic Church did about 150 A.D.? You know, they just they started working from the inside, and they just started compromising and going. And you've brought a lot of those points out in the last you know, several months from the pulpit, that's just what they did, you know. And they changed Passover to Easter, and you know, they institute this you know, this what now is they call Christmas. I know it wasn't called that back then, but they change all these things, and basically that, you know, that's been one of the downfalls almost of Christianity, one of the thorns in its side for the last 2,000 years, is doing that very thing. Yeah, don't look to Hollywood as the enemy.
Anybody seen anything on that movie, Son of God, that came out too? I'm sure that's 100% biblically accurate.
Yeah, I have a lot of reservations about that one.
Yeah.
You know, John, I did see a report that said that it was, you know, that Hollywood is bringing out more of these, quote, biblical movies, or movies from the Bible, that, you know, that Noah, it said, you know, was a little more extra biblical. And it did have a reference. I don't know if it was in that same news article, but it did have some reference that said something to the fact that, oh, like the movie Son of God, which sticks to the text a lot closer. I'll look and see. I don't know if I've got that news report here, but, you know, it seems like every generation gets that. You know, a couple generations ago, we were getting the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and those type things. And then it was, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it was Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. And so they get those few that pop through there. And when you have a people that don't read their Bible, that don't have the eyes to see what the true Bible story is, well, many times they're deceived when they say to see these things.
Do you guys hear anything more on that plane that disappeared?
I just heard it disappeared.
I haven't. That's all I've heard. That's a little weird, you know, but...
Jason, It's just, no, it's just interesting. I mean, it's, you know, the questions that they're making it out to be like, oh, there was, you know, two undocumented that we couldn't certify the documents that might have been forged and hijacked and this and that. You know, the thing is you know, we're talking one of the biggest planes that they got in the fleet, and they're watching it in real time on real time satellite, and it disappears. With all the new technology that they have on those aircraft for tracking, for monitoring, they knew how much fuel was on it. They know how fast it was going. They knew its airspeed, and you can't figure out what happened to it. You know, something ain't right.
I just wonder who was on it.
That's exactly what I wanted to know, and that's what I was going to say. And one of my first questions was who was on that plane, and who didn't they want getting off that plane?
Yeah,
but you know,
they're saying now that they're saying now. I guess the latest is that someone inside the cockpit shut off the communications tracking devices. But are you kidding me? With all the radar and everything that we have now, we can actually lose a 777.
Yeah, it's supposed to be impossible for anybody to disable that.
Yeah,
not saying,
but they can read your license plate from Mars, you know.
Yeah, and they can track your cell phones that's been turned off anywhere.
I know, and then that's the funny thing, because they were actually reporting we're still getting live cell phone feeds or something. I go, okay, well, if you're getting the cell phone feeds, why don't you track them, you know?
Yeah, something about that. They said the cell phones were still ringing. Was that when you called a number? I didn't understand that.
They didn't go right to
voicemail, but they were ringing. But why can't they track them? You know, I don't know. There's something strange going on with this thing.
I think another thing is, yeah, that
now they're saying that it turned completely around. It went all the way back across Malaysia. I don't know.
Yeah, big ol'.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have seen that before. I mean, that's the thing is, when you're flying and you deviate off your course a little bit, they call you up and say, hey, what's the deal? What's going on? Do you realize this?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's live in-flight tracking. You know, even on the small plane, they do the same thing. And as soon as you're, you know, 10 feet from where your course is, they call you up and say, you realize you're off course. I mean, depending on what you have your parameters set at, but there's no way that they could have made it that far, that long, without anybody knowing where they're going. And then for them to be, you know, they were even saying 100 miles off course. For them to be 100 miles off course, that's insane. The commercial pilots that I know that when they fly, if you're more than 100 feet off course, they're calling you up saying, hey, what is going on? Because the way the companies look at it is, if you're off course, you've got to correct for that. And time and space is fuel. And, you know, they've got to monitor their fuel consumption. And as soon as you get off course just a little bit, they want you back on course. And you get written up if you're off course at all during any of your course of flight. And they watch it in real time.
Yeah. Well, you notice you haven't heard much about the pilot or the co-pilot or, I don't know, what fate they are.
Well, and what's going to happen next is they're going to have to come up with something to give the people an explanation for something. So even if they give them...
I don't even think they do. I think people will just forget about it.
Yeah, they do, because something else will come up bigger, you know. Something else will come up bigger in a day or two and get everybody's attention with a sound bite and...
How many people were supposedly on that?
Or is it a wag the dog for what's really going on with Russia?
How many people was on that flight, and how many? Was there any Americans?
Two or three, I think. Just a few Americans.
Yeah.
But
four, I think, and yeah, 239 people.
Several hundred, so. Well, guys, we got a couple callers. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I think regarding this plane... I've always thought from the beginning, and now it's fleshing out, that this was hijacked intentionally. And conveniently, they have a couple of Iranians on there with supposedly false passports. So you have your scapegoats. And what you do is you have a plane that can be used as a false flag suicide attack, you know, a la 911. And this is being done by the Jews. And very coincidentally, today and tomorrow are what's called Purim. It's a big Jew holiday, Purim, P-U-R-I-M. And it somehow relates to the slaughter of the Persians, a celebration of the slaughter of the Persians. The Persians are what we now call the Iranians. And my thinking is that they're wanting this war with Iran, so they're going to use this plane to, you know, attack some building. And because there's Iranians on board, they're going to say the Iranians hijacked it, and then that's the excuse for bombing and attacking Iran. I think it's all a false flag plot, and, you know, the planes just don't disappear like that. That was flown away intentionally. They turned everything off. They got down off sea level, flew across the ocean under the radar, and they've got planes somewhere, and they're putting up a fuel and maybe explosives and everything, and that's what I'm thinking. I don't know about you.
Could very well be.
Yeah.
Not like they haven't done that before.
No, it's they have a history of trying to tie these events to the big celebrations. I was listening to David Duke. This has been in my mind for a couple of days, but he focused it in. This he was talking about this weekend is Purim, and they've got the whole world wondering about this plane. What would happen if all of a sudden this plane comes across the Atlantic and hits the Anubis or flies into Rome or someplace? Well, then we've got to go to war. And, what happened? Well, this plane. Well, what about this plane? Well, there were two Iranians on it. Well, what about these Iranians? They had false passports. Well, they hijacked it and they did it. So off we go to war with Iran. So that's what I think is going on. So I hope I'm wrong, but you know who we're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling and sharing that with everybody. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. And guys, we can stay with the phone lines. A couple lines ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard. Hi.
Good morning, Joe.
I got a little bit of a theory coming, boiling in the back of my mind on this plane. You know, there's a couple questions you may ask. Did the plane really exist? And if it did, where is it now? And you can ask those same two questions when the airliner supposedly hit the Pentagon at that time when the three planes allegedly caused all that havoc here in America. On 9/11. So if they can make a plane that didn't exist do all that damage, maybe they can make a plane just plain not exist, or maybe even just be flown away, spirited away. And that's my thinking on it. It's just another chimera out there to distract the people's attention.
That's a good point.
You know.
Yep.
We saw how people reacted to it right in front of their face. When we had that plane supposedly had that plane hit the Pentagon, and there was, you know, and you look at the evidence of that, there's no way that it was what they said it was.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No.
Well, that's really all I had to say on that.
Thanks, so, Joe.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good Saturday, guys.
All right. Thank you. And one phone line still ringing. Hey, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, and you'll have to make sure you turn your radio off. Completely off.
Oh, yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. I think this plane's a real proper distraction to take away from, all the other things going on. But one of the things we've seen in the past, with mysterious plane crashes, disappearances, who was on that plane?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, that was something that was brought up earlier too. That's a good good question.
Apparently, there was a couple people talk about that there were several high tech, computer chip makers on there, and now that their death is gone, that those patents and everything fall into other people's hands.
Be interesting to find out.
And I was wondering, is there any message that you've ever brought on what it really means to quench the spirit and teachings on that subject. I know we're not supposed to do it, but what does it really mean?
Not full. There's no CDs or tapes that have a full message on that. Pastor Peters touches on it on several of messages where he talks about the spirit, but not to any extent other than just reading the scriptures.
Is there any resource you could direct me to? Because I get the feeling that after about three beers, that's what I start doing, and I don't want to be doing that.
Well, if you think that you quench the spirit after three beers, stop at one.
Well, I guess it's like the Amish say, it's as easy as opening up your hand because you don't hold the glass anymore.
I mean, we have all had experiences or things, or I don't know about all, but I know all of us here, whether we can prove it or not, we can't. But in our own spirit, we know we've had certain things happen to us that were of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We can all attest to that. We might not want to put it out there or whatever. But, I mean, when you have things that happen to you that you know at the time, and nobody could change your mind, nobody could talk you out of it, that it was the Spirit of God, you know, then months go by or years go by, and all of a sudden doubt enters, you know. I mean, and all of a sudden you're in that position that Eve was in, or you're in that position that somebody else was in, and all of a sudden you're telling yourself, well, that wasn't really the Spirit of God. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, it's when you quench the Spirit, I mean, it's you're denying things that are of the Spirit. And then what's the worst thing about quenching the Spirit is God might not give you any more revelations, or might not give you any more spiritual knowings or happenings or whatever it is. I mean, I don't think there's a big mystery to quenching the Spirit. I mean, it's talked about.
I kind of got the impression that quenching the Spirit and denying the Spirit were entirely separate issues.
They are different. Yeah, one is a slander towards the Spirit when you call it a lie, and another is not going with it and not allowing it.
Right, more like a Jonah type thing. Look, yeah, I know that's what you want me to do, but I'm not the guy to do it. Those Ninevites, those SOBs, I'm not. Those, man, come on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my opinion of that kind of situation.
Yeah, I think you have an understanding of it, you know. Now, having an understanding of it, you know, is the beginning. And then it's what do we do with it, you know? So now we understand it, that, you know, hey, when this comes up, when I'm given this thought or when I'm given this opportunity, do I quench the Spirit? You know, we're to test the spirits to make sure they're of God. But once we do that and we know it's from God, do we, you know, and that Spirit says do this or don't do this. Do we listen to that? You know, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it's, do we quench the Spirit or do we go with it?
A lot of people have been convicted and pricked to get baptized for the remission of sins. And they quench the Spirit, and then all of a sudden it completely leaves them, and they're not interested in it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. And all of a sudden they, you know, God quits working with them.
And I was thinking more along the lines of people that have been baptized, that have had the Spirit. I mean, is it still like with Saul? Is it possible to, you know, like, just push it away so far or drown it so deep that that still small voice can barely be heard anymore?
I think everybody's...
Yeah, I would say yeah. You still have choice. You still have free will. You know, the pastor taught it's a daily fight of faith. And so yeah, daily I think.
Yeah, you don't want to be like the dog turning to its vomit.
Right. No, you don't. You don't want to do that. You know, and you do want to. You know, you've heard all of us. You know, teach and try to exhort people to, hey, you know, make sure you're praying daily. make sure you're saying the Lord's Prayer. Make sure you're praying on the full armor of God and those type things so that you'll be able to stand. And, you know, part of that is praying for the saints and praying for yourself and that full armor on you. And it's acknowledging God. And it's like getting ready to receive the Spirit. It's getting ready to, you know, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I've got this full armor on. It's a spiritual armor. It's not physical armor. It's a spiritual armor, but it's like it readies you to, you know, to be able to hear the Spirit and to feel the Spirit and hopefully to understand the Spirit. You know, versus just if it's all beer and TV, you know, you know, yeah, I think that would fall into quenching the Spirit.
Time and your heart.
Yeah. And that's a different spirit. Well, hey, I hope that helps.
Well, hey, be blessed in everything you do, and you guys, you're an inspiration to us all.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, in Acts, where it talks about it's hard to kick against the pricks, that's talking about going against God. Because when you're being pricked by God, it's a strong poking, you know. I mean, it's shoving. I mean, but the unfortunate thing about it is some people, they do end up going against that. And you know, an experience they had happened to them, all of a sudden, it's out of their mind.
Well, when you mention that about baptism, you know, I think of two instances in the last couple of years that, you know, people have called up and said, given a praise report, man, I've been talking to my buddy, fill in the blank, whoever it is, and they want to get baptized. They called me and want to get baptized, you know, and so we're setting it up and this and that, and you think, well, that's really good. And then maybe a month or two later, well, no, they didn't want to do it. They didn't do it. And I think that's a, you know, it's not just for baptized believers. That Spirit will come upon you and say, hey, you need to do this or you need to not do that. And it's, people kick against it. Well, guys, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Dee.
And a couple things. On the plane, the question, maybe it's the wrong question, not the who, but the what was on the plane, or is on the plane. There might be a cargo on there for a false flag. Like nuclear, biological. And on a totally separate note, why do we as Christians ignore the Sabbath when the Catholic Church and its writings, it's very clear that they changed it, but the Church changed it, that it's in Scripture, that it went against Scripture. And then the early Christians, as I understand it, still celebrated the Sabbath, or they rested and they went to synagogue for prayer, and then they, in addition, celebrated the Eucharist on the Lord's Day, what the pagans called Sunday. So they did both. Why did we? Why do we as Christians lose that? And I know you say, well, the Jews are the ones that celebrate the Sabbath, but it was the Israelites. It was all the tribes.
I don't think we do lose it.
Yeah,
We celebrate the Sabbath from
on that too.
We celebrate the Sabbath from noon on Saturday till noon on Sunday. You know, I don't think we lose it. I mean, we might not obey it. You know, I mean, we might not obey it the way we should. But I don't think we lose it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that and John had said, I don't know. I know the phone lines get a little cross sometimes, but you know, Peter did a. There's a good four-part series on the Sabbath that addresses those issues, and it's just as Kyle said. Yeah, I don't think that it's that we've lost it. That it's that, you know, we do our best to observe it. You know, and you know, but that's a source of contention among almost every group that understands the Anglo-Israel message, and I think that one thing that it points to. And I think God just sits there and shakes his head, you know, is that my people can't even agree on this,
yeah.
You know. And But anyway.
And is there any other law, I don't think there is, but is there any other law that says that it was made for man? Or, you know,
right.
I mean, because right. there is a difference there, because it was made, you know, for man.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, I mean, you can pull your hair out and you can argue this and argue that, but it that doesn't really do you any good, you know. I know some people who have took it on Mondays or Tuesdays. They just try to they try to work 6 days and take a seventh day off. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we can argue over the time and the day.
And that's the most important thing. I remember that in that series, that's one of the things that, you know, that Dad always pointed out. He's like, everybody wants to argue about the Sabbath, but the problem that most people miss is they won't work 6 days.
You know, that's
they're
true.
Worried about the one day they're supposed to take off, but they won't buckle down and work 6 days. Oh, they'll work 4 days, or they'll work 3 days, you know, or 5 days, but how many people actually work 6 days and take one day as a rest?
And that's part of the commandment.
Yeah.
It is. Well, that's point. What, I think it was Wiseman was writing about. It's the 6 days on, one off, and how can we ever really know what the Saturday was for them?
That's a point that many fail to realize. You know, we're under a different calendar now. You know, we've got 91st days. The end of the year comes up next week. That's in the middle of March, and then the beginning of the year is right there as well. And then 14 days later is Passover. And our enemy has done a very good job of changing the times, of changing the dates, and we just have to do the best we can. And you get some people that are, and I'm not saying you are, D, don't get me wrong, but you get some people that are so legalistic about it that I've researched it out for the last 4,000 years, and I know that it's on Wednesday. And they miss that, what you brought up, Kyle, that it's, wait a minute, the Sabbath was made for man. You know, not man for the Sabbath.
Hey, D, I've been the same place you are, too, looking into that deeply because of the Catholic tie to it. But near as I can figure it, the research that Dad did, and I think we're keeping it as close as we can from noon Saturday to noon Sunday is probably the best recollection of all of the information that we've compiled. That's the closest that we can get to it, as far as I'm concerned.
That's kind of what I've been doing. I've kind of come up with that, and I try to start maybe Friday night, but sometimes that's a little hard. But, you know, I used to mow and do all the heavy work on Saturdays, and so I'm trying not to do that now.
And see, it used to be that way in our society. You know, you had to get some things done on Saturday morning. You really didn't have a lot of businesses open, but if they were open, they were open Saturday morning for a little while. And, you know, you might go to town and get your shopping done, so to speak. Well, then Saturday afternoon, you know, you had social time in town with each other, and you know, it was family time and that type of thing, and the people would get up and go to church on Sunday morning. And but we have to realize too, we're in a captivity. You know, we don't have all the kingdom here. You know, we can certainly do our best to have it in our homes and in our lives, but in our society, it's a Babylonian captivity that we're in.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dee. Have a great day.
Thank you.
307-745-5913.
I still maintain that probably this plane thing, and it's probably my fault for bringing it up this morning, but is probably to keep our eyes off of what's really going on there with Russia.
Is it all over the news, this plane thing? I mean, I really haven't heard too much about it, but I don't watch the news that much. Is it
pretty much.
Hmm. Now, where was the plane? Is it a Chinese plane, or where is it from? Malaysian or something?
Malaysia.
And it was going from Malaysia. Where was it flying from and to? I don't even know. Does anybody know?
It was flying from Malaysia. I don't know where.
Yeah. You know, the couple little things I've seen just when I've looked on the internet that I've seen is pray for flight, whatever it was. You know, I have seen that, several different little things of that. Pray for this. And then, you know, here's a, whatever you call it, like a shrine built up, you know, with candles and there's like a model airplane.
It's mostly Chinese.
Pray for
Chinese that are on the plane.
This or that. And, but I haven't heard much of that here.
Right. Well, I think what's kind of funny, too, is you listen to John Kerry, Secretary of State, and Obama Nation, and they're empty threats against Russia for what they're doing with Romania. There's no teeth behind anything.
And it was a couple interesting things that are going on with Russia. First of all, Russia started moving billions of dollars out of the West. Their banks have been moving money like crazy. They're basically, you know, which is a sign of getting ready for warfare.
Yeah.
And they did shoot down a couple of the U.S. drones that were over there flying over Russia. So that was kind of interesting, too.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't either. That is interesting. You mean those drones can be shot down?
They can't find a 777, but they can shoot down a drone. Well, what is Proverbs 2 says? They make their plans, and the Lord sits in the heavens, and he laughs at them. I think that's where we got to get to. We need to be careful that we don't empower the Antichrist enemies by not fearing them, obviously, but not giving them too much credit, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have to be careful and not... You know, not fear them. And not fear the things that come in our own
lives.
Yeah,
I think. As we've, you know, been praying about this situation with Farrakhan and all that, and might have made a mistake putting that video out there, because the intention wasn't to, empower the enemy. The intention was to let the people know just how arrogant and blasphemous this man is, but in a way it somewhat empowers him, because our people, if they get enraged about it, then it accomplishes what they tried to do. So
I think that our you know, the plan is, you know, and two, you can't control people's emotions for them, but I mean, from the beginning we've told people, you know, that this isn't to enrage them, and this isn't to help, you know, to cause them to
right
to get, you know, but at the same time you got to be aware. You can't control somebody's emotions. You can give somebody the truth and, you know, equip them the way to react. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, here's somebody that's calling for warfare against followers of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, he is, you know, he's followed laws of warfare and put on notice, you know, what his plans are. Now, how can a Christian soldier fight back against that if he doesn't even know that it's taken place?
That's true. I mean, I think our response needs to be, we laugh at them. I think back to a Wisconsin camp when a whole bunch of faggots were lined up at the gates, and I think Dad had the Holy Spirit inspiration, or at least the Spirit inspiration, to basically point your finger and laugh at them. And it was like the power was just removed from them. You know, they didn't know what to do, because they expected to be fought, you know, toe-to-toe or face-to-face. And by just laughing at them, they didn't know what to do, and they just folded and walked away. And I think we accomplish a lot when we just laugh at them when they do these specific things. Now, that's not to say that we can't go against them in prayer, in imprecatory prayer.
Right.
But I think we need to be careful.
That needs to be our weapon of warfare. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful anytime you're going into warfare. I mean, why
right.
do you think you got to put the full armor of God on if it's something that you're not supposed to be careful on?
Right. And I might be wrong. I'm just...
No, I don't think you are. You know, they're just like Jason said, that, you know, there's weapons of warfare, and that the full armor of God is certainly one of them. You know, that's a weapon that we can put on, and that imprecatory prayer is a weapon that we probably don't use enough against these enemies of Christ. But certainly that laughing at them, we did. We the people that were there at that camp saw how effective that weapon was, because it did. It disempowered them, I guess, if that's a word.
Yep.
But it took their power away, and they were left standing there basically powerless at that. And they're
well,
all
laughter
weapons
is a weapon of warfare.
It is. It is, absolutely.
I think it infuriates them, too, when you don't take seriously the things that they say, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of times where I think a lot of laughter would have gone a long ways. You know, I need to be careful on what time it is. You know, I believe there's time to laugh and there's time to pick up swords. You know, there's the time to gather stones and there's time to cast stones. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that people just need to rely on the Holy Spirit on what time it is. You know, and, you know, be careful not to quench that spirit like that caller called in earlier. But, you know, when you pray, you know, you pray for wisdom. And you know, one person's weapon of warfare may not be another person's weapon of warfare. And, you know, the Lord, that's the way the Lord works and always has, is, you know, you've got different parts of the body, and every part of the body is equipped with something different. And the Lord can put upon one person one weapon of warfare, whether it's a sword, whether it's a knife, whether it's a, you know, a 50 caliber BMG, whether it's laughter, you know, it's, you don't know what that is. And he'll be given other parts of the body a different weapon of warfare. And that's why, you know, when you see there's different battles that different people fight, too, all the times. And, you know, one person may get upset with you because you're fighting this battle over here, and, you know, they're not called to fight that battle. Or they don't believe that, you know, that you should accept that challenge to fight that battle. Well, maybe that's not their battle to fight. Maybe that's yours. And, you know, you've got to recognize that, you know, that's the way the Lord works.
Right.
Agreed.
Well, the thought I had was, let's say you make a tape and you play those statements that these Antichrist blaspheming Jesus Christ, and at the end of those statements you just have just a huge laughter track on it, and then you just go to the next statement, and then you send that to them, and that's your response, and I think it would infuriate them.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah, they don't like to get laughed at.
You know, another thing you could do is too. You could have a prayer session and pray against the dirty son of hell that's coming against the followers of Jesus Christ. You know.
Well, I'm sure we've already done that all across the country.
Exactly. So, you know, but, you know, we don't know how. I mean, those prayers have already been offered up. So it's one of those things that you just, you know, then you walk in faith, you know, and expect those prayers to be answered, and know that they are.
Right. One thing for sure, the terrors are becoming more bold and brazen, seems like, by the day.
Yeah, it does. It just about every front, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from them wanting to paint, painting the rainbows on the sidewalks in San Francisco to... who knows where? I mean, it's just it's everywhere.
Well, guys, we're almost out of time here. I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead. I didn't know if you had, did you have something else, Jason?
Well, I didn't. No, that's all right.
Oh. Well, we still got a couple minutes here. Go ahead. Well, guys, we want to give you an invite to church tomorrow. You can come to our website, scriptures4america.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, and join us for a two-hour church service. There'll be some time for fellowship with like-minded believers. We'll have some good music, a review of the news, and a communion service. I guess I'm up for communion tomorrow. And a Holy Spirit-inspired message by Pastor Peters that certainly will, if it's anything like the last rest of them, I'm sure that it will be, you know, last week the pastor was talking about the issues in Arizona and what the people are voting for and what the governor decides to do. You know, even though it was from almost 30 years ago, it literally was right out of our headlines. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And so we do encourage you. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. If you don't have a good internet connection, we also record the church services. And on Monday, we come in and send out hundreds of our DVD church services to people around the country and around the world that have asked for them. And so either way, you can join us at church, or we'd be glad to send you a DVD, and you can watch that when you get it during the week. And we know many people do that as well. And so we also want to make sure that you're familiar with our Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you don't get our Dragon Slayer newsletter, well, really you should. We don't charge for it. We send it out free of charge. It's not free for us. It has to be paid for. The paper has to be bought, and it has to be put together and printed and mailed out. And you don't even want to know what that postage bill is, but because the Remnant does support us, and we are able to send the newsletter out without having a subscription fee, if you'd like to get that, or if you'd like to get the DVD Church, you can write to us and request it. And our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And, of course, our websites are scripturesforamerica.org and our network site, where you can get our complete broadcasting schedule, is sfawbn.com. Well, men, thanks for joining us, and we thank you, Remnant, for getting up and having coffee with us, and hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Proposal stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out,
ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating,
parking will be waiting at the end of our ride.